The Sun Will Shine Again Someday, A History of the Non-Class One-Cup Churches of Christ, by Ronnie F. Wade. Copyright 1986 by Yesterday's Treasures. Ronnie F. Wade, owner, P.O. Box 10811, Springfield, Missouri 65808. The Sun Will Shine Again Someday. Error cannot always triumph over the truth any more than clouds can forever obscure the bright rays of the sun. Let us gird on our armor and keep up the fight for pure speech and scriptural practices, ever secure in the knowledge that the eyes of the Lord are not blind to our efforts in contending earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Dr. G. A. Trott, The Apostolic Way, May 1, 1928.
Dedication. To my father and mother, Foy and Inez Wade, who gave me love, nurture, and a knowledge of the truth, this volume is lovingly and respectfully dedicated. The Author.
Introduction by M. Linwood Smith. The passage of time has the tendency to obscure events of history on our memory. Even though some of us were present when certain of these events mentioned in these pages occurred, yet as days and years passed, they have grown dull in memory, thus important and cherished facts are lost. The details that are chronicled in these pages provide a very worthwhile exercise, for I believe it is important as a religious people that we remember our past, our beginning, who we are and where we stand today with reference to those digressive churches who sought to suppress and subdue the truth, as is mentioned herein. We have almost waited too long to compile these events of history, for with the passing of another generation or two, these facts will be beyond the reach of recall. The history is also important because we have none who has given us the true account of this period. None of the accounts written by the historians of the church include these details for whatever reasons. Those who have even mentioned the noble brethren of this stand and station described in this account have either misrepresented them in their beliefs or have ignored them completely. Thus, a great and noble period of history has been threatened by obscurity, and worse still, God's truth has been suppressed. Generations that follow would never know of these men and the truths for which they stubbornly stood. They would never know of the fact that at one time the Church of Christ stood for these things and had espoused them all through the ages until it was led astray. We have some within our midst who have learned the truth and become members of the Church in these last few years as a result of their association with friends. Some have learned the principles of truth by marriage to church members, and others have been brought into the Church by the good influence of Christians. This is fine, but some have never studied the doctrine of the Bible and are also unaware of the background and history of the cause. They are ignorant of the fact that the very church house in which they worship, perhaps, was held for scriptural worship at a great sacrifice. They, too, are uninformed of the fact that many brethren, unknown to them, who have already passed on to their reward, held the line for the truths which they so casually take for granted. They know not of the great sacrifices of material substance, friendships, and lonely stands that were made in order that the truth might be held and error routed. A knowledge of these background facts makes the truth seem more precious than gold that perisheth. Two, people need to know who they are and from whence they came. They need to know that brethren in the past in some places had worshipped in a scriptural way all their lives until someone decided that a modern, updated way should replace it. Trouble, of course, arose as a result because faithful brethren were reluctant to yield to the novel ideas of the day. Majorities ruled, and in many places took the buildings and property, leaving the ones who stayed with the original worship to shift around for a place to worship, all in the name of growth and progress. Many preachers followed suit, for the crowds were larger there and the pay was higher, too. Only a few preachers were left, as compared to the ones who defected. It was a day of testing, and great discouragement was felt by many. The faithful had to trust in the Lord and look for a brighter future, and to work as hard as possible to teach the truth to people amidst great setbacks. The words of Brother G. A. Trott of Monday, Texas, seem to be the hope of the faithful few. In his immortal treatise on the cup we find these words: They have succeeded in convincing many, and may yet convince many more. But there will arise other defenders of the Lord's preeminence as our guide and director long after death has cast the mantle of oblivion over the author of this tract. These words were proved true, and true believers proved ready for the fight and gave no quarters. They demanded these advocates of error to show their faith by the Word of God. They tested everything by the Word of God. Today, as we glance back over our shoulder at the events of those years, we find the pleas for compromise and for unity in diversity representing a very hollow ring. The faithful are not going to be deluded by such mockings. It comes as rather an insult after they have ignored the blessed Word of God for all the years and have tried in every way to push us from the face of the earth. We just reply with the same thing that our forebearers demanded. Where is the Scripture? We have gotten along all these years without any blessings from the opposition, and we can continue. As long as people do not have the Scripture for their practice, we will have none of it. We look back with reverence today and salute these brethren who made these stands many years ago. If the stand that they took was worthwhile and meaningful, then it is important that we preserve and maintain these truths today. If these points of scriptural doctrine were important enough to merit the exercises of these faithful brethren then, we dare do no less today. Even the spirit of that day needs to characterize more brethren of our day and generation. A review of the life and preaching of the brethren represented within this printed work teach us in this day, in the here and now, that we need to be cautious. We need to still be governed by a thus saith the Scriptures. We should not allow things to slip into the church and its activity and worship unless it has scriptural authorization. Among us today there is a spirit that prompts too many loose remarks such as, "I can't see anything wrong with this," or, "What could be wrong with that?" This kind of thinking and talking takes the church in the wrong direction. It's a different direction from the course charted by the Bible and maintained by these preachers of yesteryear. The temper and spirit of our lives should be, "Is this scriptural? And does this thing that I'm advocating violate the Word of God? Does it put the church in a wrong light?" Guidelines such as this will avoid a drifting of the church. The church may drift in matters other than worship. That should ever be remembered. So in whatever we engage, we must stay close to the shore. People are seeking for the truth. Great numbers will never be drawn to the scriptural way, but people along the way will accept the truth. This is being done here on our own shores and across the tide. We have a great movement that is rolling on, and we must not be intimidated by the mockings on the one hand or the offers of compromise on the other. Two, as has been stated, we must not allow a desire for worldly attractions nor a desire to be like the nations around us to confuse us and lead us away from our goal. So, where do we go from here? Shall we change the plan? Shall we start looking for other ways? The answer must be the one that Jeremiah and brethren of old stood by. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Brother Ronnie F. Wade is to be commended for the undertaking of this task. Many miles have been traveled, and many hours of research have been spent that we might know and read these truths. The things that make this book great, the things that make it worthwhile, and the reason these men are favorably mentioned is because of truth. We love the truth, and we would have people know the truth which makes men free. Thus we want the coming generations to know what the church stood for all through the intervening years, and we want them to know and accept the truth in their day. "Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following." Psalm 48, verses 12 and 13. M. Linwood Smith, Wesson, Mississippi, April 25, 1986.